first, let's say you're watching TV when all of a sudden the local meteorologist comes in and starts talking about severe weather in the area. If the bad weather's happening wherever you happen to be, you're probably grateful for the info. But if it's sunny and calm outside your living room window and you're really into the show you're watching, do you get a little annoyed? Just recently, some people in Ohio got really worked up when meteorologist Jamie Sampson of Fox 45 in Dayton broke into an episode of The Bachelorette during a tornado warning, only he wasn't having any of it.
I was just checking social media. We have viewers complaining already. Just go back to the show. No, we're not going back to the show, folks. This is a dangerous situation, okay? It's nice, right? Think about this. This was your neighborhood. I'm sick and tired of people complaining about this. Our job here is to keep people safe, and that is what we're going to do. Some of you complain that this is all about my ego. Stop, okay? Just stop right now. It's not. I'm done with you people. I really am. This is pathetic.
This wasn't an isolated incident. A meteorologist in Atlanta said she got death threats for interrupting the Masters golf tournament a few weeks back. So how do meteorologists decide whether to cut in and how are severe weather warnings issued? Chad Franzen is a meteorologist at WSAW-TV in Wausau. He talked to Central Line producer Bill Martins.
Now, you've been in the TV weather business for a long time and have done your share of breaking into programming during bad weather. Have you ever wanted to go off like this guy in Dayton did?
Good old Jamie Sampson. You know, it's one of those things that he finally had it. And he was at his boiling point, and that's just kind of what took over for him that day that he was doing his coverage of tornadoes, which, by the way, that area saw four tornadoes in that time frame when he was breaking into coverage. And I feel like I would probably have done something similar if it had got to that point. And certainly I think every broadcast TV met would want to do that. The only thing I would have ever had any issue with is he's doing that during the time where people need him most. And so I got it. I understand him doing it. You know, that should have been a 5-second hit instead of him going on for a little bit of a tirade.
Right.
You know, I would have liked to have done the same thing, but I probably would have tried to hold off as much as I could until after the fact, get past the situation.
Sure. Now, how many complaints do you typically get when you're doing, as they, you know, as they say in the business, wall-to-wall coverage?
You know, most TV stations are going to have some kind of wall-to-wall coverage, as you mentioned, and those are going to stem from most of the time tornado warnings, where you're going to sign on as soon as that tornado warning comes out, and you're going to stay on the air wall-to-wall until that tornado warning is over. So a lot of TV stations have that policy. So in that time frame, most tornado warnings are going to be 15, 30, sometimes 45 minutes. So in that time, you are really, let's say, ruining someone's day or night because of the fact that you're covering up their coverage. Now, in today's day and age, a lot of the times someone can go find that programming back on whatever network they're watching. 15, 20 years ago, those calls would come in and they would stay with you all night long. And there was a little different situation because you couldn't tell them just to go onto the internet. But usually within that first 5 minutes, the calls are coming. And they're going into the newsroom because usually it's an after 8 to 5, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. event. And the newsroom is usually the only 24-hour manned area where those calls come in. So, you know, I feel the pain of the newsroom staff having to answer those calls. But at the same time, we have to do our job. And, you know, keeping someone safe, at least in my opinion, is worth much more than someone being able to watch a show. And in Jamie Simpson's case in Dayton, Ohio, it was The Bachelorette.
Sure. Now, you know, the local stations all have their main channel, or as we called it, you know, the mothership, maybe two or three secondary channels. So you have, say, you know, 7-1, then you've got 7-2, 7-3, et cetera. Why can't you just run a crawl on the main channel that doesn't stop whatever's on, saying tune into 7-3 or whatever, and do all your wall-to-wall coverage over there?
Well, a lot of the times it depends on how the station's set up. There's even stations now going to .4s and .5s. So it depends on how the station's set up. But most of the time, those other channels are not going to be carried on all the different places that the mothership would be. For instance, if you're an ABC, CBS, NBC, or Fox, you're going to be carried on all the cable stations. You're going to be carried on all the satellites. You'll be carried off air on the bigger stream coming off of the antenna, the stick. Now, when you get to the digital channels and the sub-channels, a lot of those are not available on all the different cable systems. They're not available all the time on satellite, and a lot of them are not going to be powerful enough coming off of a stick, where they can carry that frequency, that wave, for the entire TV market.
Let me ask you this. There are so many ways to reach people. You know, you've got traditional TV, Facebook Live. Each station seems to have its own app. There are other weather apps, weather radios. How many people still rely on good old-fashioned television during severe weather?
Most of them. And that's the weird thing is, you know, the technology is as good as the technology is going to be. So when you're in severe weather, especially as it's happening, when you get power outages and stuff like that, your cell phone, you know, if it's charged, it's fine. It's the fact that your cell network and also the internet and everything else, those secondary systems will be apt to fail. So we still see a good portion, 75% or so of the audience that's coming in from television, because that's the media they're used to, and that's the media that's going to work most of the time.
We're talking with Chad Franzen. He's a meteorologist at WSAW-TV in Wausau, and we're looking at how weather people like Chad decide when to break into coverage for severe weather. A couple of instances of that happening in the news lately in which the audience didn't like that so much, but Chad is saying it's about safety. Safety comes first. You know, most of the time when you're actually breaking into a program, Chad, it's during a tornado warning. Now, talk about how that tornado warning is issued, because it's not you who's actually doing that, right?
Correct. I mean, for the most part, what will happen days out in advance, Storm Prediction Center in Oklahoma starts putting outlooks out to kind of highlight the areas that could possibly have some severe weather. And as those days get closer to those that time frame, those areas become smaller, a little more fine-tuned. So the Storm Prediction Center really starts it all off with those outlooks days in advance. Then as you get into the event, the day of, the Storm Prediction Center and the local National Weather Service office are going to work in coordination with not only getting the watches out, if there is a watch, sometimes a warning comes out without a watch, but most of the time it's with the watch, and then you're going to have the warnings, and the National Weather Service offices are going to coordinate those. And when they issue those are going to be based off of one of two things. For a tornado warning, it's going to be based off a Doppler radar signature, and or it's going to be based off of what someone is seeing out there storm chasing in the field. And so when that information is relayed from the National Weather Service, it goes out to the broadcast media and all the different platforms, cell phones, all that other stuff, and then that'll push the warning out to everybody at home. And that's when we're hopefully on air, if not at that time, shortly thereafter. And a tornado warning for most TV stations, they're going to hop on as soon as that warning comes out and likely stay on the air until that warning is either expired or canceled.
And I imagine that's got to be a difficult decision for the National Weather Service to put out a watch or a warning, because you want people to be safe. But if you say there's a tornado when there's not really a tornado, you know, they might tune out. But if you wait until you have absolute confirmation, it might be too late for some people. So how do they weigh all of that?
Well, and that's just it. I mean, it's you don't want the false positive as what they're graded on. That's what the National Weather Service and Storm Prediction Center's graded on, is false positive or cry wolf syndrome, if a little more local term that everybody would understand. So they're going to be graded, the National Weather Service at the end of the day will be graded on if they're putting out false positives on those warnings. So there are some metrics in place for at least Doppler radar indicated tornadoes, where you have to have so many volume scans, and then you still need the human interaction to go in there and look at it. The radar will put out what's called a TVS, a tornado vortex signature. It kind of is like a hand in the air waving to try to get someone's attention. But when you're in severe weather, the local meteorologist as well as the National Weather Service is watching to see what this storm has been doing in the past, how it's evolving, and how it's going to evolve in the future. Short-term forecasting for severe weather is one of the most nerve-wracking things you can do. You don't want a false positive. You don't want to falsely warn someone. But at the same time, the consequence obviously is dire. And so you need to make sure that people are aware of the situation. And that's why pretty much every TV station, when the tornado warning is issued in that area, they will go on wall-to-wall coverage from the beginning of the warning until the end or until it's canceled.
You know, as a meteorologist, you'd probably love for everyone to take what you and your colleagues say seriously. But maybe you get the forecast wrong once in a while, or there's that false warning every now and then. So as we wrap up here, what's your message to people when it comes to severe weather forecasting or, you know, interrupting programming? What do you want them to know and understand?
Well, you know, the biggest thing about interrupting program is we understand the inconvenience of it. It's an inconvenience to the meteorologist, but at the same time, it is a necessity in making sure people are safe. So when the warnings come out, people should be indoors in their lowest place of their house or building that they're in, or the safest place they can get to. It's not the fact that we're trying to overhype anything. We want everybody to be safe. And if someone gets hurt on your watch as a meteorologist and they're not hearing you, there's nothing worse than that. It also makes the meteorologist understand that not everybody's listening and watching at the same time, but you sure hope the heck they are as you're issuing your warnings and talking about them on TV, bringing it really down to street level on to where that tornado could possibly be. And whether it's on the ground or you've got a big funnel cloud that's close to it, a lot of times it's a very ominous sight, and those are the reasons why we have so many different areas and opportunities to try to get people to understand that severe weather can happen within a split second. And when we're on there, wall-to-wall coverage, we're wanting to make sure they are safe as much time as we can give them to be safe from any time a tornado could happen.
Good to talk with you again, Chad. Thanks for helping us out.
Anytime, Mr. Bill.
Chad Franzen is a meteorologist at WSAW-TV in Wausau. He talked with producer Mr. Bill Martins about how meteorologists decide whether to break into programming for severe weather coverage. It's after a viral video of a TV meteorologist in Ohio who scolded viewers who were upset that he interrupted The Bachelorette during a tornado warning.